What is it that binds brethren together? Makes us want to be together, do things together. Endears us to one another. Sometimes brethren are bound together by social preferences. The places they like to go, the kind of entertainment they enjoy, for example. Sometimes brethren are bound together by their culture. Sometimes brethren have preferences for one another based on their racial circumstances. And sometimes brethren are closer because they're family, because of blood. Now, while these things are not wrong in and of themselves, and I'm not advocating that these things be forgotten, those characteristics of our togetherness will always be there. What we want to look at this morning is the fact that in the New Testament, there's another bond, something that binds the brethren together that is highly emphasized. And I'm persuaded we need to cultivate this relationship. Thus the lesson. And I hope that you can see how important it is. It's something that I know I need to work on. I think we all could stand to work on. And we're going to begin our study in the book of Romans in chapter 16. For this bond based upon faith, hope, and love for God is strongly, strongly emphasized in this letter by the Apostle Paul. I hope you have your Bible open. We also have the part of the verses on the slide here before you. And I want you to see as Paul writes this letter where his heart is. What is it that endears himself to the people that he mentions in this letter? The book of Romans has been extolled as one of the greatest New Testament letters by many. It's a wonderful declaration of the gospel of Christ. It's precious beyond measure. But here in this last chapter, the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to write rather an extended section on his attitude and bond with his brethren. What was the basis of it? Look at it. So we start out here at verse 1. I commend to you our sister, Phoebe. And obviously you recognize that sister here is not the bond of blood, but the bond of faith. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our sister, Phoebe. And know what he mentions about her. It's not a bond of living in the same place, having the same race. I don't know what her race was or any of those kind of things. What it is who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. And this is what he appreciates about Phoebe. She's a servant of the church, Cenchrea. In verse 2, he exhorts his readers that you receive her. Do you know anything about her? Here's what you know about her. In the Lord. In connection with her devotion to the Lord and to his people, that you receive her in the Lord, note, in a manner worthy of the saints. Continue, he said, verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Now, all through here, you see this term greet. Greet in their language more than hello. It was an expression of wishing well. And so it's the idea of wishing a blessing on someone. That's what the idea of greet meant. Greet Prisca and Aquila. Bless them. Appreciate them. Let them know you love them and appreciate them. Why? My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. then and greet the church. Note again, we have another greet, but this time it's the church. And he's not talking about a secular body of people, people joined together because of citizenship or race, but people banded together in the faith of Jesus Christ, a church of Jesus Christ, as he talks about later in verse 16. Then as you continue here, he said, greet Epaphroditus, my beloved. Now, what does he point out about him? What does Paul remember about this man? Remember, he's not in the same place that Paul is when he's writing the letter, but he mentions these people, and here's what's precious about that remembrance. He says, my fellow workers, who was the first convert to Christ, the first convert to Christ there in verse 5, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Back up here. So, greet Mary, who's worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Julius, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who, and I note, are outstanding among the apostles. The apostles had high regard for these people. I don't know what the circumstances were, but the fact that there was this connection made him mention that in this letter. And know he also says, who were in Christ before me. Verse 8, greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. And as you go through all of these names, you see this connection with Christ. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And then greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus. Now note this, who are in the Lord. In verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Then he says, continue, greet Persis the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. And you see all these in the Lord phrases and brethren, all these names that are listed over and over and over again, the greeting one another is based upon this relationship to Christ, a love and a faith and a hope in Jesus Christ. Now, that's strong enough to have that many verses, that many statements repeated in a letter that is a prime letter, and the space is very valuable. But the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to write all of these things about people that he had a bond with because of this common faith in Jesus Christ. But look at verse 17. There's a contrast in verse 17. You're going to see he doesn't have the same attitude toward everybody. Sometimes people say, you know, at a funeral, I don't know of any enemy this person had. You can't say that about Paul. There were people that he had, he loved them and he cared about them, but they weren't his friends. And let's note this. I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances. What's the basis of watching these people, marking these people, contrary to the teaching which you have learned? Instead of all of those Greek phrases, here we have turn away from them. Don't associate with them. Don't make them your best buddies. Turn away from them. For such men are slaves, now note, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspected. So on one hand, greet these people in the Lord. They're workers for the Lord. They work for you. They're beloved in the Lord. But these people here turn away from them. What's the basis of that? It may be these people they had traveled with before. Maybe they had the same kind of work background. Maybe they were the same race. But here's the criteria. The connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. You're going to see this is not the only letter where you see this attitude on the part of the apostle. He wrote Romans. He wrote Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19, he says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily. Now we have it in the Lord. All the brethren greet you. greet one another with the holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. Note again here, there's greet, 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 but it's all connected with faith in the Lord. But back up now, or go forward to verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Look at the contrast. Wish your blessings on these people in the Lord. You don't love the Lord, there's no greeting. Let them be accursed. That's strong, isn't it? You see that contrast. Look in 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and look at verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded. Now note, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. So here's these attitudes that he talks about, rejoicing, comfort, like-minded, but it's all based upon this connection with Jesus Christ. But now look in contrast to chapter 12, verse 20. I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you not to be what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there's strife and jealousy and angry tempers, etc. And he goes through this list. He said, I'm afraid when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who sinned in the past and have not repented of the immorality and sensuality which they have practiced. That's within the church at Corinth, it seems like. The fact that they may have met under the same roof. The fact that they may have sang when the song leader sang and led the singing. The fact that they may have been there for years. The fact that they may have sit close together. That's not the criteria. The criteria is, are they servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? And these people whose lives were in sin. Sometimes there's people sitting on the pews that are practicing sensuality. They're practicing immorality. They're doing things that are ungodly. But they're my friends. And people will greet them and express their pleasure at them. But here's somebody else, maybe that is striving to live a holy life, but they feel no bond with them because they don't go places with them, they don't eat with them, they don't have the same likes and dislikes socially. That's not God's plan, if I understand these verses. The basis of our bond between one another needs to be based upon the fact, you know what? That person loves the Lord like I love the Lord. That person is striving to glorify Jesus. Josh talked about that in his comments about the songs, and we expressed it in the prayer that was prayed. That needs to be the foundation of our bond between brethren. Look over, if you will, again at Romans. There's a very interesting thing here. Obviously, a lot on this slide. You can't see it all immediately. But hopefully you can see the names that I have in red. There's some 27 names. And then there's two more allusions to people that no name is given. But 27 names. Now, think about this. Paul is writing a letter. It's a doctrinal letter. It's an important letter. But the Holy Spirit allows him not only to say greet, but to mention 27 people he knows by name. By name. In Rome. How many people in this congregation's names do you know? Sometimes we say, well, I know the people that sit right there by me. I know the people I went out to eat with. I know the people I've traveled with. What about the names of others who are in the Lord? Note why they know these people, why he mentions these names. All of these phrases, our sister, servant of the church, fellow workers in Christ, convert to Christ. That's the basis of it. And here's an interesting thing. 10 of these names are women. Women. Either named or referred to. And so it's not only men and women. It's not a gender thing. It's the connection to our Lord Jesus Christ. What a lesson for us. You know, we've got a directory that Wally keeps updated. Do we know the names of the people that sit on the other side of the aisle? Know anything about them? Do we care? Or do we just come, get our little spot on the pew, sing some songs, say hello to the people around us, and go home. Is there not a bond of fellowship that we ought to be cultivating based upon our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for. So it's based upon you. What he's going to talk about here is based upon not your gender, not your race, not your social preferences. Obedience to the truth. Purified your souls for, or if you're reading the King James Version, it says unto. If you're reading the New King James, it says in connection with a sincere love of the brethren. They obeyed the truth. You obeyed the truth. That's the connection. A sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. Why? Look at verse 23. For you have been born again. Not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God. Here's the bond that continually in these letters, that these people embrace the Word of God. They're conforming their lives to it. That's the reason I love them. Their personalities may be different. Their likes may be different. They may be a little strange. Most everybody I know is strange except me. But that may be the case. That's not the point. The point is, do they love the Lord? There's going to be things you don't understand about one another. There are going to be personality traits you may not like about one another. That's not the point. The point is, do they love the Lord? They obeyed the truth. They've been born again by the Word of God. And that Word is in their hearts to control who they are and how they live. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. In contrast, he said, talks about their past life. He said, verse 1, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same purpose, because he has suffered in the flesh and ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So they at one time lived to satisfy whatever passions that men have. They were going to satisfy that. I want to do it, I'll do it. But that's a time past. Now he says, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. Then he talks about all these things that the world practices, drinking, carousing, etc. But now note, he says, verse 4, in all this, they, these people you used to run with, you used to go drink with, you used to go to parties with, they look at you now, and he says, they're really surprised. Verse 4, they're surprised. You know why they're surprised? You won't go to the party with them. You won't drink with them. You won't carouse with them. You won't look at the same things that you all both looked at before and rejoiced in. Note it says, he said, you do not run with them. Sometimes we ask the question, who do you run with? What do you mean by that? Who do you keep company with? Who do you want to have a good time and relax? Who do you run with? Who do you run with? We may go to church in the same building, but who do we run with? So, he said, they're surprised. They think it's strange. New King James Version says, strange. That you don't do those same things you used to do. In other words, the bond is not the same as it was before you became a Christian. The bond now is based upon obedience to the truth, having been born again. That's the people you appreciate and have a connection with. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. What does this entail? Keep reading. He said, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Now, that's where we had back in chapter 1. You've been born again to a fervent love for one another. Well, okay. How did that demonstrate itself? Well, let's read. First, love covers a multitude of sins. And people are going to sin. People are going to make mistakes. And people are going to say things they ought not say. That's true. But love covers a multitude of sins. You know, if it's somebody you run with every day, you might overlook it. Oh, they just had a bad day. But what if it's not somebody you run with, but they're a brother in Christ? You know they're trying to serve the Lord. Does that make a difference? Look, what about verse 9? Listen. Do you have a magic marker? Just mark that verse out. People don't practice that anymore. You be okay? Just cut that verse out? I do have people in. The people I travel with, the people I go to restaurants with, the people I like to do social things with, play card games with, or whatever it may be. No. Be hospitable to one another. Who's that? These people bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, born again by the Word of God. Be hospitable to one another. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whatever ability you have, say, what can I do for my brethren because they're brethren? Whoever speaks, let him speak as the worthy utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies. And what's the ultimate aim? So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate aim. Here's a group of people on earth. They're a minority. The world thinks they're strange. But they're God's people. They're Christians. They love one another. And there's a special bond between them that the New Testament talks about over and over again. Well, here's 1 John chapter 2. So it's not just in Romans. Here we see it in Peter. Here we see it in John. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brothers in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light and there's no cause for stumbling in him. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. Are we in the light or are we in the darkness? One bad thing about being in the darkness, you don't know where you're going. You may not realize how bad things are. But here is a criteria, one at least, one thing to measure by whether you're walking in the light or not. And that's an attitude toward brethren. Well, that at least for me says something about how important this is. But the question arises, who's my brother? Who is my brother? Well, let John tell us right here. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the manner in which he walked. And then you have this exhortation about loving a brother. Well, he's my brother. I know that directory, his name appears on the directory. That make him your brother? Oh, he goes to a church of Christ. That makes him my brother. He may go occasionally, but he's a brother. He got baptized one time. That make him a brother? The brother is somebody here that loves the Lord and his commandments and doing their very best to keep them. They're striving to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. And I ought to love him because of that attitude, because of that way of life. That's the brother that's in the context. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message which we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. What's the grounds of Cain's bad attitude toward his brother? His deeds condemned him. His brother lived by faith and Cain didn't. Now, he says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. I need to love brethren who love the Lord and their righteous life. If their righteous life condemns me, instead of getting a bad attitude, I need to do some changing. And so here again, we see this bond between brethren being emphasized in the text. Look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 12. So we've looked at Paul, we've looked at Peter, we've looked at John. We see this repeating thing all the way through. But what greater example can there be than the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, when you think about Christ, He had a family. He had a mother. He had a legal father, Joseph. He had brothers in the flesh. We know about those relatives. And so here in Matthew chapter 12, and we'll look in verse 46. So who would Jesus especially give attention to? There's a crowd around. But there's mom. And there's brother. You know, come on over here, Brother James. But listen to this. While he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his brother, mother, and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. They wanted to speak to him. He's teaching. But he said, someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. So he says, move that crowd aside. Everybody get her out of the way. It's my mother and brother. Let them come up here. Is that what he said? Listen to him. Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. If that doesn't seal the importance of adjusting our attitude to appreciate people on the basis of faith rather than blood. Faith rather than race. Faith rather than gender. Faith based upon they keep God's word. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus made that very point, did he not? Okay, we could stop here. Take the lesson home, maybe. Maybe not. What difference does it make? Wait, we're not quite finished. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. This is a judgment day scene. It's one of the criteria of judgment. Not the only one, but it is a criteria of judgment. So you know this scene. You know that in this chapter you have some who were invited to share in the gracious rule of Jesus Christ. And he said, verse 34, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But you have a totally different story in verse 41. To those on his left, he said, depart from me, accursed one, into the eternal fire. He's been prepared for the devil and his angels. What did these people do? Did they kill some folks? Did they sexually abuse people? Did they steal from people? What did they do so bad? He says, depart. I don't want you around me eternally. Man, that's hard, isn't it? Look at verse 40. The first group. They said, we never saw you hungry or thirsty. He said, yeah, you did. Listen, he said, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine. That phrase is used several times. Jesus used this term brother several times in the Gospels, unless I've missed it. Every single time. It's of brothers in faith, not flesh. These brothers of mine. To the extent you did to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Am I wrong in saying this is a criteria of judgment? We're talking about trying to strengthen this bond, appreciate the common faith between us, overlook the differences that we may have culturally. You know, I don't understand why people like certain things. I don't understand why people dress a certain way. I don't understand some of the ways they spend their money, but you know what is important? If they love the Lord. That's the key. If they're bound to serve Jesus Christ, their lives are dedicated to that end. Galatians chapter 3. Paul is writing about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being extended to all men, regardless of race, whether Jew or Gentile. But not just race. Regardless of economic status, regardless of gender, regardless of whether you're free or whether you're bound. Listen to Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. You know that was a problem in the first century, wasn't it? Imagine if you're in a Jewish church. The early churches were first made up of Jews. And some Greek walks in and he hears a lesson and he wants to obey the gospel. Will you let him? All your life, all your daddy's life, all your grandpa's life, you didn't talk to Gentiles. Will you let him? Will you sit by him? Will you sing with him? Will you hold his hand? Will you greet him? On the basis of the fact you now share the common faith. Look, he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. So you're a free man. You've got a good house. This guy's a slave. He probably doesn't dress near as well as you do. James talks about somebody coming in their assembly that had old clothes on. They obviously very poor. Okay, sit over there in the corner, will you? James shamed brother for that attitude. Paul said, whether you're a slave or you're a free man, you can own a business. Or you can be the lowest guy on the totem pole. That's not the criteria that Paul's pointing to. Look, he said, there's neither male nor female. It's true that God gave males more leadership roles in the local church. But if you know your New Testament, you know there were women very important to the work of churches. We just read about some of them in Romans 16. You read about husbands and wives teams like Aquila and Priscilla teaching the Word of God. And so, whether it's male or female, here's what he said about it. You're all one. In connection with Christ Jesus. Rich or poor, white or black, male or female, doesn't make a difference. That's what we read. So we have Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let love of the brethren continue. So I don't know about you, but I know it's good for me to be reminded. Because if we can get comfortable, we just talk to the same people. People we like to eat with or do things with or travel with or whatever. And fail to develop and cultivate an across-the-board bond based on faith. There'll still be those other preferences on those other bases. That's okay. But don't ignore this when it's so important to every person that's involved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe if we can do nothing else but remind us of that. Get that directory out. Look down at who was not here today. Why weren't they here today? Do I care? It's easy to never pay attention to that kind of thing. Somebody's sick and it's announced. Do we ever follow up? I know I let it slip. To see how they're doing. Just to express, I care about you. And there are so many other things. You see families with other issues in their lives. Express that love and concern because you share faith in the risen Lord. That walk of faith begins in obedience to Jesus Christ. By recognizing who He is and confessing our faith in Him. And being buried in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. When that happens, we arise a new person. All of the sins are washed away. We're clean and new. I don't know. Maybe there's someone in this audience who needs to do that. But sometimes we do that. And then we fall away. We start living like we read a while ago. But getting with the people we ought not get with. Doing the things we ought not do. Saying the things we ought not say. We bring shame on our Lord. We're a discouragement to His people. And we need to repent. Whatever your situation may be, we're going to sing the song that Josh has selected. I think it's He Will Pilot Me. Is that right, Josh? Jesus will pilot us. If we'll hold His hand and follow His leading. If we can help you do that, as together we stand and sing, come to the front, we'll discuss that matter.